Those of you who have your Bibles, want to invite your attention to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter. And I simply want to lift up verse number 3. Proverbs 16 and 3 says, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be establish. For this first Sunday of 2016, we want to preach from the theme, committed to be established. Committed to be established. The challenge of moving forward in life is often blocked by our inability to stay the course that we've set for ourselves. Wanting something but never achieving it can be frustrating to one's sense of self-worth and self-esteem. When you find yourself not being able to overcome and get out of the habitual regiment of failing, of always starting and never finishing, always having pipe dreams that die quickly and easily. It can make one weary, weary of hope, and create a sense of give one a losing mentality, where you cry out, I will never achieve my goals and dreams because I tried it every year, and my results have been that I've tried, but I never achieved. To some of you, this might sound a little far-fetched, but this is the reality for so many of God's children. Find themselves putting forth a faith, but never having the fruit of their faith that they claim to possess. This is the reality. Many of God's people find themselves knocking at the door, but never able to move forward, never able to get over the hump. You get up and go has got up and gone. You get to the place where you believe putting forth the effort is not worth it. Because time and time again, find yourself reaping the same old thing over and over. Striving, but never arriving. Hear me, church. So many of God's children, when they look at where they are right now, the reality is that includes us all, and assess our situation, many feel that they should be further in life than they are today. They should be closer to where they aspire to be in life than where they find themselves in the here and now. With the start of a new year, you're wondering if this might be the year that all of this is going to change. This might be the year you come forth and break out of the shadows of being in the background. this might be the year that you break out of the box, because you know where you are is not God's will for your life. This might be the year you begin to see some fruit. Some things come the past. This, God Almighty, might be the year you get your health in order. Your money in order. Your priorities in order. Your marriage, in order. Your relationship with God in order, or whatever is out of order. This might be the year you get it all back together. So, my brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you in the affirmative and say, yes, this can be your year. Your year to break out of the rut and experience great change and progress in your life. This can be your year to reap the harvest of fruit that you have, the faith to believe, and the tenacity to receive. This can be your year that you overcome years of failure, overcome your fears, step up and step out. This can be your year to start with a new attitude that you can have life and have it more abundantly. However, if it's going to be your year, it's going to require something of you. It will require that one thing that you've not been able to implement or execute in your life, and that one thing is being committed. Somebody say commitment. The commitment factor is one that you've got to embrace and embody without wavering and faltering. Being committed takes a devotion that is sold out, a devotion that will not diminish in tough times, a devotion that is willing to go beyond your comfort zone. The commitment factor is one that requires one day at a time patience, that will not be frustrated by what you see, what you feel, or hear, but you will press on despite what comes your way. If you can commit a thing, you will be able to stop the crumbling circumstances of your life. If you can commit a thing, you will be able to invoke change for better in your life immediately. And it's not whether you can make a commitment, because the reality is we can make a commitment. But too often we have made the commitment not to be committed. Unless we are able to make a commitment for better, we will always be striving, but never arrive. Moving, going nowhere, talking loud, saying nothing. This is what makes us indifferent about life. Tony Capallo said, many people live and then years later die without having really lived at all. A modern day philosopher put it this way. He says, we aren't desperate, but we are vaguely dissatisfied, because we have been living half lives, half-heartedly. And then there's a country song. If you didn't get the first two, you might get this one. There's a country song entitled, If my life was a horse, I'd have to take it out and shoot it. Some of y'all get that when you're on the highway going home. When we fail to commit, we're not living, but just going through the motion. Church, it's time to make a commitment. And so the Lord gave me this theme for our church this year that we will operate under for 2016. The theme is committed to be established. This is the year of commitment. Somebody say commitment. This theme is derived from the text contained in Proverbs 16:3 that says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. The key to having our works, our dreams, and our goals established in life is tied to our ability to make a commitment to them and then commit them to the Lord. Now, the Bible also declares in Proverbs 4:1, it says, sit up and take notice so you'll know how to live. Sit up, take notice so you'll know how to live. Before we can implement a thing, we've got to first take notice of our lives or do an assessment, an honest assessment, a look in the mirror to determine where we are. It's time, Edda Stouffer, to take notice. There are three areas we need to take notice of. The first area, we must take notice concerns our relationship with God. Our relationship with God. The question we've got to ask ourselves, do I really trust God? And is God a priority in my life? You see, God's got to be a priority, not a God of emergency. Not a cosmic bellhop. Not a rabbit foot God. Horseshoe God. God's got to be first priority. Where God is your first thought and not your last resort. The Bible declares in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Jesus declared, when you make God your number one priority, you will not have to worry about your needs being met. And then the scriptures declare in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, they are a new creature or creation. All things passed away, and behold, all things become new. This is not a one-shot situation, but for the new year, new you can come forth when you commit to being in Christ Jesus. When Christ is in your life, a new passion breaks out in your life. we will have passion for the way we worship. Don't come to church dragging, but you come skipping with joy in your heart, declaring, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. God's a priority in your life. He puts passion in your life that replaces old failures, fears, and faults. He gives us newness of life. We got to first take notice of our relationship with God. Are you and God all right? The second area we've got to take notice of is our spiritual health. Somebody say spiritual health. You see, we oftentimes make resolutions about losing weight. And that's a good thing. I'm going to lose some weight in 2016. Yeah, I'm gonna get back to the size I was when I married Vanetta. Slim and trim. Head full of black hair. Debonair. And muscularly built. I told y'all when I got her, she said, what a man. What a man. What a mighty good man. We make resolutions about losing weight, about improving our physical health. But do we give the same emphasis to our spiritual well-being? Because before it can be well with your body, it's got to be well with your soul. Proverbs 4:23 states, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. This indicates to us that we must take care of our spiritual health because it is tied directly to the flow in our lives. And that's why 3 John 1:2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. When you are not settled in your soul, you will not be settled in your life. This is why I believe we fail to hold on, hold out in the area of commitment. When you don't have peace, when you don't have joy, when you don't have faith, when you don't have power, you are existing but not living. But when we take serious the word of God, how many of you know God's word is food for the soul? Because man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. When we dine daily on God's word, our faith grows, our focus is strengthened, because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. When you can walk by faith, when you can trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. How many of you know God will direct your plan? We quote that, but we don't finish it because it goes on to say this, It will be healing for your flesh and refreshment for your body. You see, when we pray daily out of God's word, we'll get the wisdom and the strength to overcome any challenge that comes our way. Your life will be better when you better your spiritual health. Take notice of it. And then finally, church, take notice of what you're willing to commit to God. Our foundational passage of scripture reminds us God will establish what we're willing to commit to him, because the truth of the matter is we can't establish anything ourselves. We might be able to create some things, but they won't last long. But when God establishes a thing, how many of you know it's fixed? It's firm, and it will not be moved. First, we got to be willing to commit ourselves to God. Romans 12 and 1 declares, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You will not establish in your life if you don't commit yourself to God. Next Sunday, we're going to have installation of officers. This is a service of commitment. You will vow to give your best in service to God and to this church. And I commit myself as pastor to this church and to God so that we might be established in the things of God. But secondly, we must be willing not only to commit ourselves, but we've got to be willing to commit our resources. Right. When we honor God with what already belongs to God, the windows of heaven blessing will be established in your life. When you commit your resources to the Lord, and then finally, you got to be willing to commit to bring about the harvest of lost souls, to do unto the least of these, and commit to serve this present age, our calling to fulfill. We, Edisto Falk, need every hand on deck doing something that brings God glory in service with those who are on the outside of the church, but also with one another. When we commit ourselves in service, God will establish great things in our lives. So, church, it's time to make a commitment. A commitment to God, because when we honor God with our lives, God will honor us for a lifetime. It requires we make a commitment, not for selfish reasons or selfish gain, but we do it because in the end we want to say to God, be the glory. Yes, if you're going to break the cycle of not having God's best in your life, you got to commit to a relationship with God. Yes. Then you got to commit to improve your spiritual health. Yes. Then you got to commit to giving yourself, your tithes, your time, and service to God. God is looking for a commitment and not a contribution. I need to say that again. God is looking for a commitment and not contribution. For I'm reminded of the familiar story. Many of you may have heard it before. How one day the animals on the farm came together. They decided that they were going to have a great feast. And they wanted each animal to make a contribution. The cow said, "I'll contribute the milk." Then the chicken spoke up and said, "I'll throw in some eggs." Then the goat spoke up and said, "I'll kick in some cheese." And then they looked at the pig and said, "Brother pig, why don't you throw in some ham and bacon?" But the pig looked at the other animals and said, "Giving milk, eggs, and cheese for you all is nothing but a contribution. But if I kick in ham and bacon, that's going to require a total commitment." Well, church, God is looking for a total commitment. And on this first Sunday of a new year, I'm reminded how our Lord and Savior gave a total commitment for you and for me. Don't you know he came down from glory and he gave himself up on Golgotha's hill? On a cross, he hung there, bled and died, so that we might have the right to the tree of life. He could have called 10,000 angels and spared his life. But he stayed there because he wanted to make a contribution for you and for me. But not only that, they put him down in a borrowed tomb. And he stayed there 3 days and three nights. But early, I said early, is there anybody here glad about early Sunday morning? He said, "I can't stay here. I got some folk at a church called Eddystone Falk. I got to get up from there because they need power in their lives. They need strength to run and not get weary. They need joy that'll be their strength. I'm glad Jesus paid it all. Only him we owe." And so the question becomes, what will you give this year? What will you contribute this year?